Welcome to this week's podcast from Gospel Lighthouse Church in Blytheville, Arkansas. Let's welcome Pastor JC, Senior and Lead Pastor of Gospel Lighthouse Church.
We're recording, everything's good. All right, 2 Samuel 23 and verse 11, the Word of God says, "And after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Hararite. And the Philistines were gathered together into a troop where was a piece of ground full of lentils. And the people fled from the Philistines." Look at verse 12. "But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it, and he slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory." Amen. Today we're going to continue with this thought of transition in this message that we've entitled, and it'll be on your screen, Transition 2. T-O-O. Transition 2. Take your neighbor by the hand as a point of contact and a sign of unity, and let's ask God's blessings upon this word. Father, we love you. We're so thankful today, God, for the reading of your word. Let your word go forth in power and demonstration of your spirit, a powerful seed planted in good ground to bring forth much fruit. And Holy Spirit, I need your help today. Thank you for the healing power of your word. Continue to lead and guide and direct. Bring all things back to our remembrance. Whatsoever has been spoken, whatsoever has been written, give us insight for our eyesight. Open our ears that we may hear what you are saying to the church. And when we leave this place, we will bear much fruit and continue to operate in your gifts. So confirm your word with signs and wonders. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody says, amen and amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Thank you for standing in reverence of the reading of God's word. I want to talk just for a few moments in this first segment about lessons from a garden. Is anybody in here a gardener? You love to garden, you love to grow plants. Anybody raise your hand if that's you. Has anybody started a growing anything already? Raise your hand if that's you. You already started growing? All right. And so we're going to be going in this direction in a few weeks. Some of us will get our tomato plants out. It's always a good idea to get them out a little bit early because they'll keep growing for a long period of time. But, you know, cultivating, getting your soil ready, putting down your fertilizer, getting everything ready, that's important. But, you know, there are lessons in a garden. And the great lessons we can learn from a garden are so helpful. In fact, there's one lesson, I believe the greatest lesson that we can learn from the garden. And by the way, the garden is seen as a microcosm of life. Is this profound value of patience, of resilience, and acceptance of the natural transitions of growth and decay. Because you see both happening. You see the transition, you see the growth of this fruit, but then you also, sadly, you'll see it as a new season approaches, you'll begin to see the decay. And so I was reminded of something I shared with you back in October of last year in a message that was talking about how do you guard yourself from being dragged down by someone else's offense. And I was reminded about something, and this is what led to me to make this title called Transition 2. When I began pastoring in Dequeen, Arkansas, there was a gentleman who did not, I'm telling you, he was very adamant. He did not agree with my style of leadership. In fact, people would come to me and say, well, this other guy's whispering in his ear, and there's other people whispering in his ear trying to convince him, and he was on the board, and he didn't agree with my philosophy. He didn't agree with some of the things that we were bringing into the church and the church style. But I felt like it was very important at that moment as a new pastor to make some important changes, to make some, not just big changes, but some adjustments, if you will, that later on, and a few months later, it proved to be so fruitful. Our church grew financially, we grew numerically, and God just began to bless. I'm telling you, Dequeen was one of the most powerful, we had most powerful services, we saw miracles, we saw great things take place at that church. But one day, early on in this period of transition, I overheard this gentleman talking to one of his buddies, and I heard that phrase, "You too." you too. Like I'm being thrown under the bus. I'm the one that's being, kind of pushed to the side. And I knew right then, when I heard that phrase, when I heard that expression from them, I knew right then that that was a moment I had to do something. I had to bind the spirit of Leviathan. I had to bind that spirit because I knew if I did not begin to tear down the strongholds that had been plaguing that church for years, for decades, that there would be chaos that would follow. There would be a church split. And thank God there wasn't. Thank God that God heard our prayers and he intervened. I sought the Lord for wisdom. You know, the word tells us, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of the Lord. I sought wisdom. I prayed for wisdom. And I asked God for supernatural favor. Not only supernatural favor, but natural favor as well. And that transition went so smooth. It was amazing the turnaround that we saw. But unfortunately, there are many, many people who are being dragged out of God's will for their lives into what I call premature death, premature spiritual death, or even premature death, because they simply believed a lie. Do you think about this today? Remember last week I said in our application, and I've said this before, and I was thinking of Levi when he was just a young boy, and he said this to 1,000 people, and it was amazing that at that conference, that convention at Omega Center, that they all came running and they said, you won't believe this is exactly where we're at. And that phrase was, don't get lost in transition. Don't get lost in transition. Let me ask you this question. Have you ever wondered why good people follow bad people when the bad people leave the church? Have you ever wondered why that happens? And you think, oh man, I would have never guessed one family left, but I would have never dreamed that this family would follow. And you're side blinded. Listen, there's been so many tears that we have wept in the last few years because of people making mistakes, and I will be honest with you and transparent, they were mistakes that were made. And people followed that. They felt like, hey, me too, you too, transition too. But have you ever wondered why good people follow bad people when they leave, when bad people leave the church? You know what it boils down to? Pastor Carl, it boils down to the story of the wheat and tares. Listen, some of you, this is going to hit hard, but God, if you will allow God to take that hoe and cultivate your life, you're going to see some things open up like you've never seen before. Matthew 13 and verse 24, to be on your screen, Jesus says, another parable he put forth unto them, and this is what Jesus said. He said, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, look what it says, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, did not thou sow good seed in thy field? From where has these tares come from? In verse 28, he says, he said unto him, an enemy has done this. The servants said unto him, will thou then we go and gather them up? And look at 29. Verse 29 says, but he said, no, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat, the fruit with them. Look what he says. He says, let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather you together first the tares and bind them in the bundles to burn them. But gather the wheat into my barn. So there's a true separation at the very end. And this is the reason. The reason good people follow bad people when the bad people leave the church is this, simply this reason. Because collectively, I want you to think of this. Look in the mind of a garden and look beneath the soil. Because collectively, people in the church are interconnected. We're growing together. Whether we're good, whether we're bad, whether we're hurting, whether we're healed, whether we're rejoicing, whether we're sad, whether we're fighting, whether we're discouraged, whether we're just celebrating, we are interconnected. We're growing together, and our roots interconnect. And this is why you see, you're shocked so many times. You see good people take off, and you're thinking, what are you thinking? You know, not one person that has ever left the church ever came to me personally and said, this is why I'm leaving. They've never talked because they knew that they were out of the will of God. And I'm not here to try to defend myself or defend any situation that ever took place. But I'm here to tell you, it's so very crucial right now that you stay in the perfect will of God. If you leave a tear in the church, those tears will eventually tear up a church. Let me say that one more time. If you leave a tear in the church, those tears will eventually tear up a church. And this is what I see, Pastor Crystal, and I've shared this with you. The closer to the harvest, God sends angels to cause a separation. This is what we saw. We saw God bring in great people working for the Lord, hungry for God, serving the Lord, bringing in things to help with outreaches. And all it was one person that got offended or didn't like a style and drug them out. I remember when I first pastored, we had a man by the name of Ronaldo. We were praying for Ronaldo for months. His wife, Sadie, she was very involved, highly involved in the church. She even helped with teaching Sunday school a little bit. And she came in and she said, Pastor, please pray for my husband and my two boys. I want to see them in church. So we prayed, we fasted, and it was just a couple of months later, here he comes. And we've invited him over to the house. We had dinner. And then he got saved. Ronaldo got saved. And then here comes his two boys. His two boys came in. They started coming to church. Our church was growing. I baptized Ronaldo. And I used a Spanish Bible. And I did my best. I had someone help me. But I read it. And I baptized him in Espanol. And it was just amazing. And then Ronaldo, we found out, played the Spanish guitar. So we had Ronaldo on stage and he was playing. And surely Sadie, his wife, had been celebrating and been in tears and rejoicing. That was not the case. She began to get jealous. Ronaldo was getting all of the attention. Her boys were coming in. What happened? A few months later, Sadie left the church. When Sadie left the church, Ronaldo left the church. When the two boys left the church, one boy went and spent 10 years in prison. Don't get out of the will of God. Transition to you too. So the closer we get to the harvest, we're seeing it, we're growing. The devil cannot stand the growth. He cannot stand us going out into the streets, doing a block walk, a prayer walk. He can't stand us going into Gosnell and to these other places and doing outreaches. He can't stand me every time I come up here and preach the truth. You know what preaching is? Preaching is stepping on the snake. And the devil can't stand being stepped on. Amen? And so this is the question then I've got to ask myself. Are we going to fight or are we going to flee? You have Shaman, here he is, and he is guarding this garden, its pea patch, or his lentils, beans, whatever fruit it was, whatever vegetation it was, in his garden. And he's got to ask himself this question, is what I'm guarding right now worth fighting for? And I was in prayer this morning, I was thinking about that. Is what I'm guarding, and I had this thought, some of you guard your phone more than you guard the Bible itself. Some of you are on your phone and you're guarding and you're hiding text and you're hiding searches and you're hiding things on this and you're trying to keep. Listen, let me tell you something. God knows you can't hide anything from God. Some of you are guarding that checkbook from your husband. Some of you are guarding these conversations. And God is saying, I'm going to rip the roof off And I'm going to expose what you're guarding. Is what you're guarding worth fighting for? Some of you are guarding your children, trying to protect their involvement in all kinds of sin. And you're justifying yourself and you're saying, well, at least they're not doing this. Yeah, at least they're not having sex. At least they're not doing hard drugs. Oh, it's okay to do the little drugs. It's legal now. But not realizing it's only a gateway to something even more critical and hurtful for their body, more addictive. It's okay. They can be the designated driver. It's all right if their friends go ahead and drink. Come on, we all have done it. That is a lie from the devil, and we got to quit compromising the Word of God and the principles and the truth of God's Word and stand up and say, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. My, oh my. So you have 2 Samuel 23, and you have Shammah, verse 11. After him, Shammah, the son of Agi, here is this Herite. And the Philistines are in a troop. Now, I'm not for sure. I heard before a troop could be anywhere from 20 to 60 people. It could have been even more. I'm not for sure how many people there were, how many Philistines there were. But they were after that garden. They were after that field, and the people that saw the Philistines coming, they fled. They didn't fight, but they fled and they took off. But Shammah, one of David's mighty men, said, "No, what I'm guarding is worth fighting for." And the Bible says he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines. I want you to put that up there, Caleb. I want you to put that on that screen. 2 Samuel 23 and verse 12. It says, but he stood in the midst, see that, of the ground, and defended it, and slew the Philistines. And look what happens. And who got the victory? The Lord wrought the victory. I don't know about you, but I need God to bring me some victory in my life. I need God to produce miracles and victories and over battles in my life. You can come back to me. I like what Smith Wigglesworth said. He said, great faith is the product of great fights. Great testimonies are the outcome of great tests. And great triumph can only come out of great trials. Here's a great man of God. If you've never read anything about Smith Wigglesworth, I would encourage you to do that. Here is a man, and I love this story, that has died, and they asked Smith to come and to pray for him. And Smith had so much boldness in God. He grabbed this man, and he took him, you remember that, Brother Vernon? And he threw him up beside a brick wall, and the man was lifeless. And he said, in Jesus' name, come to life. And the man just was still limp. He grabs him and picks him up again. And Smith Wigglesworth is a big, stout guy. And he throws him against the brick wall again, and the man is still lifeless. Finally, the third time, he said, in the name of Jesus, I command life to come back into this man. He takes him and throws him up on the brick wall, and the man revives. That is great faith. I say, God, bring us some great faith in our fights. Can you say amen? But this is the real reason people flee. Are you ready for this? This is the real reason people flee and don't fight, is because they do not believe in what they're fighting for. They didn't believe in the church. They didn't believe in the ministry. They didn't believe in the motto, people are our greatest investment. They didn't believe in the area that we are at. They didn't believe that we are a gospel lighthouse. They didn't believe in the light. They didn't believe in these things. It's because they don't believe in what they're fighting for. There is an incredibly dangerous element that's happening right now in the church, and I want you to pay attention to this. People are going after stuff that doesn't really matter. Did you hear what I said? You need to respond. People are going after stuff that doesn't really matter. Think about this. This is why preaching the truth of the Word of God is so vital in these last days. Sometimes our personal agendas and self-indulgence suffocates our love for God. And the reason why so many people have a love affair with money and passion and possessions is because they don't have an authentic relationship with Jesus. They love things more than they love God. Is that not what the last days of what Paul was writing and Peter exposed, that people would be in love with pleasure more than lovers of God? Lovers of money. My Lord, help us. And so people are striving and serving things that have little or none eternal value. We cheer for our favorite team, but we rarely do we ever cheer in church for Jesus. I watched the basketballs. My Weatherford Eagles won state, and I was just so excited. But you know what? That's just one thing. I'm more excited about Christ than I am the Weatherford Eagles. Because you know what? Weatherford Eagles, they can't save me. They didn't redeem me. They didn't go to the cross and die for me. They didn't raise the third day. They didn't take the splendor of glory and the splendor of heaven and just release it off of themselves and come become a form of man just like us and be tempted in all ways that we were tempted, and yet still gave his life for us. And so we're so diving into all these things that really have little or no eternal value. Shammah, here he is, the son of Agee, a Hararite. He believed in what he fought for. If Shammah gave into fear, he and his family would have died a premature death. Let me share something very transparent with you. I've never said this publicly. I have written this in my book that I'm writing, but I've never said this publicly. Only one person, actually two people that I've ever shared this with, was with my wife and with the district bishop of Southern Missouri. Only two people I've ever talked to about this. Early on when I was not able to walk. Early on when I had people to help me walk in this, I was just really discouraged. And I couldn't get up, and I would be laying in the bed, and I was just having so many issues. Thank God Linda Merrick came over and just prayed and had a Thanksgiving meal, and I think it was May or whenever it was, and she said, I just believe that God is going to happen. You're going to wake up one day and it's going to be gone. And I'm still holding on to that word, and I'm a lot better than I was. Thank God for that. But I had something that happened to me. I had a garden experience. There's so many lessons you can learn just from a garden. I was lying in bed and just, you know, thinking about my condition and wondering, you know, what's the next steps. And I was a little down, and all of a sudden, Macy, my number one baby Macy, came in the bed, and she laid beside me, and she didn't say a word, and she put her head on my shoulder. I was just laying there, and I just kind of peeked over at her, and she just started crying, and she just had her head beside me, and just tears were flowing from her eyes, and she never said a word, and she just cried, and I could tell she was praying for her daddy. And the moment she did that, I did not let her see me break down and cry. But I said, I'm getting out of this bed. That person right there is my garden, and she is worth fighting for. I'm going to defend this garden. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. I could have given up that moment. I could have just given up that week, because I had many times I just felt like I was just going to not make it. I had to battle death one night in a hospital all by myself. I had to battle the spirit of death, and it was a code blue. Almost every hour it was a code blue. Couldn't get any sleep, and I would just fight that spirit of death. And I'll never forget that. And I could have died a premature death, but I chose to stand. Number one, three things we got to do to protect ourselves from premature death. Number one, stand in your garden. Everybody say, stand in your garden. Let me ask you right now, where do you stand? I cannot tell you where you stand. Where do you stand? Where do you stand with God? Where do you stand in your relationship with God? Where do you stand in your relationship with your spouse, with your family, at your job, in the church? Where do you stand? It's a simple question. But you have to answer that question alone. And you will have to defend all of those answers before God. You will. Locating yourself is the best way to get from point A to point B. If you have no clue of where you are, you will become vulnerable in transition. You will. You'll become a target for the enemy till we get to the next one. You'll become a very susceptible, vulnerable target of the enemy if you do not know where you're standing at. Number two, defend your garden. Let's everybody say, defend your garden. Right now, right this minute, right now, is your garden worth the fight? Is it? Is your job your garden? Is your church your garden? Is your relationship with God is your garden? What is your garden? Is it some things that just doesn't matter? Is it just trying to be right? It's just your opinion. Is that your garden? What is your garden? Is your garden worth the fight? Is something you're holding on to that is a sin? Is that worth the fight? Is the spirits that are tricking you and deceiving you, is all things worth the fight? Is that, you got to answer that question, but you've got to defend your garden. What is a main priority right now in your life? The Apostle Paul, I love what he does. He puts this in perspective. Listen to how he writes to the Philippians. Chapter 3 and verse 7 will be on your screen. He said, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. You're talking about being prioritized. That was the Apostle Paul. He knew what he was going to defend. I heard a story a week ago, and it was incredible. I didn't know the story, but there's a song that we've sung growing up. I have decided to follow Jesus. That's one of my favorite songs. The cross before me, the world behind me. You know, the no will follow. I'm going to follow him if nobody else is going to follow. But I found out where this story that produced this song, this famous song, came from. It was the last words of a Garo man named Noksing. He was from India. It was a Garo man. He was a villager. He was a tribal man. And Noksing, the missionaries came in from London, came in from England, and they brought them the Bible to the Indians there in India. And he accepted the Lord Jesus as his Savior. He, his wife, and his two sons. And so he was persecuted day in and day out for his faith in Jesus in this little village, this little tribe in northeastern India. He was persecuted. Finally, this chief was going to kill him. And he said, you're going to have to denounce Christ and follow our religion. And the man, Noksing, he said, no, I'm not going to do this. And so they took his wife. They took his two children and they shot him with arrows, you know, using the bow. And as they were bleeding, the two children and the wife, as they were bleeding and dying, they asked him, they said, are you going to denounce Christ now? And he said, no. And this is his last words as his wife and his children lay dying before him. They were, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. That's defending your garden. That is truly defending your garden. Of course, Noksing was martyred. He was killed because of his stand for Christ. We may have to make that kind of decision. We may have to make that kind of decision when people are... I saw this happen in San Francisco, and I couldn't believe my eyes. You may have seen it. Man was preaching. He was an Asian man. On the streets of San Francisco just 2 days ago, had his Bible out. He was preaching on the corner in a transvestite or whatever they were. They came up with a gun on camera and put the gun on the preacher's head and told him to stop preaching. And you know what that man did? He kept preaching. That is defending your garden. They didn't even pull the trigger. They just put their gun down and went away. But could you keep preaching if there was a gun placed in your head? See, we don't think we think that we have all the answers and that we're so strong. Like Jensen Franklin said, you know, we've got iron, steel in our spine. You know, we think those things, but when it really is happening, are you going to be able to stand and continue to preach? Continue to defend your guard. The last one, number three, you got to slay the demon. Everybody say, slay the demons. How do you slay the demons? By using the Word of God. That's the only way to slay the demons. Your strength is not enough. You can convince yourself, oh, I'm strong enough. You don't have to worry about me. I'm okay. Until you get away by yourself and you realize that you're not as strong as you thought you were. Listen to what Charles Spurgeon said. He said, and it'll be on your screen, Charles Spurgeon said, the Word of God is like a lion. You don't have to defend a lion. All you have to do is let the lion loose, and the lion will defend itself. Thank God. I'm telling you, people can debate the words you speak, but they'll never be able to debate the God they see in you. It's time to let the lion loose in our life and let the lion roar, the lion of the tribe of Judah, roar louder than he's ever roared. Let the Word of God go forth. And a power and an authority, and say, thus saith the Lord, devil, not today. I'm an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. Greater is he that's in me than he that is the world. If God be for us, who can be against us? No weapon formed against me shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise up against me, he, that lion, shall condemn. Can somebody say hallelujah? Ephesians 6:10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, taking you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in an evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having the breastplate of righteousness, and on your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, which is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Can somebody say, let the lion roar? Some of you have no choice. You've got to defend your ground. You've got to defend it. You've got to fight this fight. You can't keep. Now you've went too far to give up. You've got to keep fighting. But don't become transitioned and entangled in a premature death. You must stand. You must defend. And you must slay those adversaries. Give the Lord a good hand clap so I can get me a drink. So how to apply this into my life? So what, now what? How can I go from auditing this message to applying it? How can I go from description to prescription? How can I make this message transition to count for life? I believe the best way to make true and pure application of this message is to check yourself before you wreck yourself. Meaning, look where you're standing. Right now, look where you're standing. Listen to Galatians 5 and verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. And the key word, and be not entangled again with a yoke of bondage. How many will receive that word right now? So what are some of the things that we are vulnerable to be entangled with? We could easily say, well, is it addictions like porn? Is it addictions like alcohol or drugs? Is it lying? Is it cheating? Is it stealing? You know, we can name this, all these things. They say gossip. Oh, God, help us. I found out men are worse gossipers than women. Amen? You know, it's amazing. These preachers, you get in a round with these preachers, and they go, well, they go worse than the women do. But there's some things that I want to share that I think are very important. Number one, don't get entangled in suffering. This is transition. Sister Linda Wallen, you know what major suffering and minor, the simple difference between major suffering and minor suffering, you know what the simple difference is? Minor suffering is what you go through. Major suffering is what I go through. That is just as simple as it can be. Think about that. Don't get entangled in suffering. Listen to what Romans 8 and 18 says. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. That's transition. Don't get entangled in suffering. It hurts. I understand. It's painful. You have questions. I mean, suffering can cause you to question a lot of things about life, even about purpose. It will do that. It will help you and make you question about hope. Sufferings will make you even question about God. You'll have these questions. And questions, though, okay, but questions can lead to doubt and unbelief. You know, it's okay to have those questions. But if your faith is not rooted and grounded in God and in His Word, you're going to struggle through your suffering. Because when that root tear of suffering begins to grow in your life, it will entangle. And if it gets rooted around the Word of God, and that Word of God is not strong, it's exactly what Mark chapter 4 says about the sower and the seed. And he's planting a seed, and here comes trouble, here comes the devil, here comes all the cares of this world, here comes the riches, the lust of other things and a rich and all that stuff, and it gets pulled up along with that word. So you got to get deeply, deeply rooted. I read my devotion the other day, and it was to sincerely desire the milk of the Word of God. I mean, as newborn babes have that new love and passion for His Word. Number two, don't get entangled in offense. Matthew 24 and 10, Jesus says, and then shall many be offended, and they shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. Isn't that amazing, Pastor Jamie? The process that they see, they get offended, they're rubbed the wrong way, and then they say, well, I'll get you back. And before you know it, they betray them, and then it grows worse. They begin to hate them. And they use all the excuses. Oh, it's racism. Oh, they lie. They use all these excuses. And this is where we're at today. It's a shame. But this is where we're at. If you're not guarded, you can allow others to entangle you in their offense and drag you down with them and out of the will of God for your life and perhaps a premature death. Number three, the last one. Don't get entangled in deception. Listen to this lesson from the garden. Galatians 6, verse 7. It says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. For he that sows of his flesh to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. I like verse 9 because it says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And we are so, I mean, because of the lessons of the garden, we can learn a lot from the simple garden. And because of the greatest lesson from the garden, it's the profoundness, value of patience, of resilience and acceptance, of the natural transitions of growth and decay. But we forget the element of time, and we plant an evil seed. We plant in the flesh, and we think, oh, nothing's going to happen. But you reap what you sow. But on the good news is this. You give your Bible, you give your pastor a brand new Bible, you reap what you sow. In the Spirit, you reap
Think of all the souls, Sister Linda, that will be won from the preaching out of that Bible, from the studying out of that one Bible. That Bible will travel all over this globe. You reap what you... That's great. And if you and I will not be weary in well-doing. In our due season. Sister Charlotte, your due season. Michelle, your due season. The Wallens, your due season. The Dixons, your due season. Rebecca and Antonio Guerrero's, your good season. Sister Merrick, is that right? Linda, good season. Billy, Vernon, Danny, Courtney, Jose, all of you, the Peters, Donna Chu, everybody, Pastor Carl Haley, all of us, the Seward family, all of us, our due season is coming. Transition to. If we can guard our garden, if we can protect it from someone sowing tares, that means you got to keep your mouth quiet too. If you can cultivate it daily with God's word and prayer, we too can safely transition into our due season if we faint not. Get rest. The doctor told me to get rest. That's what I'm going to do. Get rest. Don't let strength eaters eat your strength away. Guard your garden. Let's stand together. What if we all determine to do that? I'm going to guard it. I'm going to guard my garden, Brother Carl. I'm going to garden. No, sir, you can't. It's like, you know, the garden basketball. They used to call me, when I played for the NBA, they called me Roach. They say, why'd they call him Roach? They said, because if there was a nuclear war, that he would be the only thing left standing, because nothing can keep him from, nothing could take him away, because he's one of the best guards there ever was in basketball. I say, yes, what can I say? Did I say NBA? I'm sorry, I might have misspoke about that. But anyway, I can dream. Amen. What if we determine that's what I'm going to do? I'm a guard. Is what you're guarding right now worth fighting for? Is there secrets? Can you play something? Is there secrets? Is there secrets you're guarding that you don't want nobody to know about? Are you hiding something? You can't hide it from God. There's, you know, eventually your sins, Sister Haley, will find you out, right? Do they teach that where you work? They sure need to, don't they? Eventually it's gonna, but the good news is this. You garden truth. You garden that love and that affection. You garden that passion. You're not letting anybody throw that cold blanket on the fire of God in your life. You're not letting anybody get you down and discourage. You're not gonna take any more lies. You're gonna be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. That's what's so beautiful about this message. In transitions too, because all of us are victorious in Jesus' name. Bow your heads and your hearts with me this morning. Father, we love you. We're so thankful, God. We're so thankful, God, for this word. We thank you for the truth of this word. And we need your strength so we won't faint. We need to position ourselves, locate ourselves, and say, hey, I am going to keep myself becoming entangled in the things that are going on in this world, or even in my life. I refuse to go down with them. I want to be interconnected, entwined, so roped together, so like the word tells us, a three-chord rope is so tightly woven together that I'm not going to be broken. I'm going to fight and I'm going to serve and I'm going to be faithful and consistent in all that I do for Jesus' glory. You're here this morning, say, Pastor JC, this message is for me. I've been vulnerable. I got to get myself ready. I want to stand. I don't want to be entangled in suffering and in offense and in deception. I want to stand in my garden. I want to defend that garden, and I want to slay these demons. If that's you with an uplifted hand, say, pray for me. This week, I'm going to pray for you. I'm looking to see who your hands are. I'm going to pray for you. It's my commitment every day this week for 1 week. I'm going to pray for you, and God is going to give you the strength and the help. Thank you, Father. We love you. We give you the glory. We give you all the honor. Everybody shout hallelujah. Let's lift our hands toward heaven. Let's say our Aaronic Konim blessing first in Hebrew, then in English. Yay, Varei Kaka Adonai V'yesmerei Ka Ya'ar Adonai Panav Lekha V'yaveh Neka Yasah Adonai Panav Lekha V'yasem Lekha Shalom. The Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord shine His face upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you and give you peace. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and His glory shall be seen upon thee. Someone shout hallelujah. Glory to God.
To find out more information about who we are, our ministries, and our service times, please log on to our website at myglc.org.